Our scripture reading this morning is from Hebrews, a little bit from chapter 11 and a little bit from chapter 12. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Here ends the reading. Pastor Don mentioned Audrey, our beloved Lindale member, who joined the great cloud of saintly witnesses this year in one of our very first phone calls about the possibility of me coming here. He told me about her lifelong journey with cerebral palsy, and perhaps more importantly, about the sticker on the back of her chair. It said, as you all know, "Live your life in such a way that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, Satan shudders and says, 'Oh, bleep, she's awake.'" Her fire, her activism to make Minneapolis wheelchair accessible over the course of her life, her humor and her struggle for belonging in a world designed to exclude her, Don posed those of emblematic of this community. Hearing about Audrey helped me understand that Lindale was my kind of church. And Audrey also totally and entirely intimidated me from the moment we met. She had style, as you can see by those glasses over there. She had an impeccable nose for BS. She had no patience for pity. She demanded respect and true humility out of her friends and community. In short, I knew that if I were to get to know Audrey, there was no shortcut I could take to avoid just being real. There was no hiding under the pastor's robe or stole, wearing the trappings of authority like a turtle shell, to make my squishy, still developing sense of pastoral identity. Audrey was bored by that stuff. If you weren't there to dig in deep to the existential questions, to let all the struggles of a life of faith breathe, to commit as much to a belly laugh as to being in the streets with the Black Lives Matter protests, she didn't have time for you. I don't blame her. And I think that's why I came to love her. Though it never stopped being a bit scary to have her X-ray eyes look through me, demanding that I show up fully in the moment we shared. But that's what made her a saint in my life. She held me to the highest standards of presence. Today is All Saints or All Souls Day. It's when we remember those we have lost this year to that great cloud of witnesses cheering us on from beyond. We pause to rest in their continued presence among us, to remind ourselves that we are their living memorials. But today's not just a memorial service or a celebration of the lives gone before us. This is a time of recommitment to each other in the here and now. Let me back up and tell you what I mean. In our culture, when we hear the word saint, many of us think of the distant heroes and sheroes of history. We think of Joan of Arc or St. Francis or St. Mary. Some of us with Catholic backgrounds get a little more recent, remembering saints like Bishop Oscar Romero, who Pope Francis just named a saint this year, who worked for the poor and against torture his whole life and then was killed while serving communion. Or we think of Mother Teresa, whose service to those dying of HIV and AIDS and tuberculosis and to the children who were impoverished in India put her on a path to sainthood. I just found out she's one proven miracle away, so fingers crossed. But these are the saints whose whole lives in retrospect seem so extraordinarily holy and loving and faithful that I actually find myself totally discouraged. I am so not Mother Teresa. These saints' lives are impossibly faithful and seemingly impossibly pristine at the same time. Perhaps the key word is retrospect. Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber says, "In any given moment, I am so filled with doubt and self-interest and ambition and neurosis that it's hard to be tuned into God. But I can pretty consistently see God in retrospect. Maybe that's why the Catholic Church only beatifies people after they've died." Us mere mortals so often need the gift of hindsight to see divine presence in people clearly. But the problem with hindsight is that it does away with all the messiness of reality as it's unfolding. It doesn't have Audrey's nose for BS. And frankly, I think she'd be bored with the stories we tell of most of these historic saints. She'd want to see the seedy, juicy stuff be told as a part of the story, I think. And I'm with her. I would pay good money to hear about Oscar Romero's sermon writing process, about moments of crippling self-doubt or breaking into the Halloween candy while writing his All Saints sermon. I would love to know if Mother Teresa ever just felt like taking a vacation to the Bahamas and getting a mani-pedi and drinking too much communion wine. In short, I want to see myself in these saints just a little bit more than retrospect lets us. We don't live in retrospect. We live in the now. How can All Saints Day help us live in that now? Let's look at our scripture again. There's this word faith over and over again used to describe the guiding principle of the lives of these saints. But faith is sometimes a dubious word. I don't always know what it means. I don't always trust the intentions of the people who use it most. In our culture, it tends to be a code for a set of religious beliefs and politics that usually make me squirmy. But I'm helped by Karen Armstrong, who's a religious studies scholar, who says we too often mistake faith or its cousin belief for a call to what she calls intellectual assent. This is the kind of Christianity that asks us to check our brains at the door. Instead, Armstrong challenges us to look at the Greek word for faith, pistis. That word translates to trust, and it's deeply related to the words for love and commitment. This is what the saints of our text demonstrate when our translation shorthands all of that to faith. These ancestors of ours are demonstrating trust, love, commitment in their relationships with the divine. But notice one thing more. Our text names specific moments in the lives of the saints. When the people passed through the Red Sea, when Rahab received the spies, when Moses refused to be hidden, when. These are not lifetimes of uninterrupted faithfulness. These are pivotal moments of love and commitment. I don't say all of that to lessen the meaning of the saints' lives in our scripture or demean their faith in any way. I just say it to make their faith more real and accessible for us in here and now. I have come to believe we cheat ourselves when we think of the saints as some other category of people, either those who are flawlessly faithful or those who have died or those who are both of those things. I am much more interested in what I'm thinking of now as saintly encounters. When has somebody listened to you so attentively that a little bit of healing you never thought was possible actually happened? When did somebody make you laugh so hard you couldn't breathe? When did somebody stand in solidarity with you so profoundly that you felt they had tied their well-being to yours and the arc of justice might just bend in your lifetime? When were you held in love so tender that it felt like the whole universe was perfect for just a second? This is what it feels like to be blessed by a saintly encounter. These are windows into what we call the realm of God, these encounters. And we are capable of offering these moments to each other. They are moments of love, trust, and commitment. But let me not romanticize them. This isn't about fickle feelings. I might not always feel the feelings of love and trust, but I can still practice them. I can still practice the verb of commitment. And so can you. Commitment to each other is how we practice commitment to the divine. Love for each other and trust among each other, it's the same. The holy dwells among us. In fact, the mystic poet Rainer Marie Rilke says, inside human beings is where God learns. I love that. This is what All Saints Day is about. We celebrate and honor the saints that have come before us. We remember their whole lives. The messy stuff, and the saintly encounters we had with them that helped us know ourselves and the divine better. Then we look around this room, and we commit to practice saintly encounters with each other. not in retrospect, but in the now. Because when we can have saints that are as real, anxious, angry, exhausted, fill in your personal adjective of choice, when we can have saints that are all those things as much as we are, then we can remember that we too will join that great cloud of witnesses one day. But we can also be saints right now. May it be so.